We thrashed on up and down the river in fine style. I say up and down because the Mississippi is the twistiest watercourse you ever saw, doubling back and forth, and half the time you're steaming southeast or southwest round a bend to go north again. It's a huge river, too, up to a mile across in places. There was nothing to see as far as the banks were concerned except mudflats and undergrowth and here and there a town, but the river itself was thick with steamboats and smaller vessels and great lumber rafts, piled high with bales and floating lazily down the muddy brown waters towards the gulf. It's a slow, ugly river. There's appalling closeness and a sense of rot and corruption. It's a cruel river, to my mind at any rate, both in itself and its people. Mind you, I may be prejudiced by what it did to me. But even years later, when I came booming down it with the Union Army, well, they boomed and I coasted along with them, I still felt the same oppressive dread of it. I remember what Sam Grant said about it. "Too thick to drink and too thin to plough. It stinks." Not that he'd ever drunk it anyway, unless it had been pure corn liquor from Cairo town. She's a treacherous river, too, as I realized on the morning after we had boarded the Sultana, and she ran aground on a mudbank not far below Natchez. The channels and banks are always shifting, you see, and the pilots have to know every twist and stump and current. Ours didn't. We stuck fast, and a special pilot, the celebrated Bixby, had to be brought down from Natchez to get us afloat again. All of which consumed several hours, with the great man strutting about the pilot house and making occasional dashes out to the Texas rail to peer down at the churning wheel and scampering back to roar down his tube. "Snatch her! Hard down! Let her go, go, go!" While the Mississippi mud churned up in huge billows alongside and you could feel the boat shuddering and heaving to be off. And when she finally snatched and reared off the shoal into the water, Bixby was half over the rail again, yelling to the nigger leadsman, and the scream of the whistles all but drowned their great bass voices, singing out, "8 feet, 8 and a half, 9 feet, quarter less twain." And then, as she surged out, "Mark twain!" And the whole ship roared and cheered and stamped, and Bixby clapped his tall hat on his head and resumed his kid gloves while they pressed cigars on him and offered him drinks from their flasks. It was quite fun, really, and I'd have enjoyed it if I hadn't been so anxious to get ahead, for I like to see a man who's good at something, doing it, and throwing on a bit of extra side just for show. However, after Mr. Bixby's performance, we steamed on to Natchez, and there, any slight enjoyment I'd been getting from our cruise came to an abrupt end. From now, life on the Mississippi was to be one horror after another, and I was to regret most bitterly the day I clapped eyes on her dirty waters.